Welcome back to America's leading higher education podcast, The EdUp Experience, where we make education your business. Hosted by Dr. Joe Sallustio and Elizabeth Leiba, produced by Elvin Freitas, The EdUp Experience brings you the brightest and most influential minds from across the globe via The EdUp Experience podcast. Get ready, get set, let's go.
We all know continuing education and workforce development divisions, you know, the units that offer non-degree programming, need to play a central role in supporting institutional responsiveness and growth. But more often than not, leaders only focus on the outcomes that these divisions drive and rarely think about the infrastructure they need to drive those outcomes. The team at Destiny Solutions, in collaboration with The Evolution, developed a white paper to help explain the role IT systems can play in supporting growth. To download, visit evolutionwith3ls.com/system and get the inside track on the importance of tailor-made tech. Again, that's evolutionwith3ls.com/system.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the EdUp Experience podcast, where we make education your business. And I have a longer intro that I do sometimes, but I realized, Liz, that I do that in the pre-recorded intro. I say, something like, interviewing the best and brightest minds in higher education today. And then I also do it before I introduce you. So I'm basically repeating myself continuously. Who wants to hear that? This here is Dr. Joe Sallustio, always with me to give me honest feedback. So honest, you wouldn't believe it. Liz, thanks for being here.
Yeah, well, you know what? Here's the thing. I've been a faculty member for, as you know, a long time, over a decade, very long time. And I feel like giving honest feedback, especially since I teach English composition, is really important because students need to grow and they need to understand what they're doing well, what they need to improve, and ways, strategies for improvement. So that's actually the techniques and strategies that I've been utilizing for you, for your mentoring.
Would it be fair to say that your feedback to me is brutally honest, though? Would there be an adjective in front of that feedback to describe how you give it to me?
I would say brutal would be a good way to describe it. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, unbelievably could be another word.
Unbelievably brutal.
Yes, unbelievably.
You know who is a kindred spirit of mine when it comes to very honest feedback?
Who? Do I take a guess here?
Well, I'm going to segue and say our amazing guest.
Oh, see, I didn't even know what you were doing.
I see that. I noticed you didn't pick up on that because I was impressed by her ability to be honest and fair in her observations of you.
Yeah. So before we introduce her, just to let the listeners know, if you've been listening to some of our episodes, I know we have some loyal listeners. I've been experimenting with different audio interfaces, which come with sound effect buttons. I've ordered 9 of them, I think, at this point, and returned 8. And I thought I had a winner. I had it in my hands.
You've ordered 9 of those machines.
Or so, 9 or so. It could be more.
Oh my gosh.
Could be
more. This is getting a little bit.
I told you in the last
getting
episode.
Getting scary, right?
I told you in the last episode, the one I ordered was completely in Japanese. So every time even though all the buttons were in English, every time you clicked a button, it would go, "Domo arigato," or something like that.
Oh my gosh. Arigato gozaimasu. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh
my goodness. So I'm like, okay, this isn't going to work.
Not good. No.
I got one that has actually like little music tracks built into it. But then you and our guest today decided to give me very brutally honest feedback.
We're trying to help you.
All right. So about the endeavor that I'm under, which basically was stop doing this, right? That's basically what I took away from it was just give it up. You suck. Give it up. Stop trying to buy.
Well, not the you suck part, but definitely give it up. I would definitely say we definitely said that. Yeah, for sure.
Well, somebody that's not going to be giving up anytime soon is our guest today. Her name is Tracy Snowden, and she is CEO and founder of Apto Global. You can check them out at aptoglobal.com. She's here to talk all about their amazing work. Tracy, welcome to the EdUp Experience podcast.
Thank you so much. And now, Liz, because we gave such brutally honest feedback, you're going to have to do the clap track in the back.
Yay!
You're welcome. Thank you.
I would just like to note for the record that Tracy did admit that they did give me brutally honest feedback. So
she did say that. Yeah. Well, it's to help. It's only to help you. You know, we want you to be better.
No, I don't want you to give up. Everybody, like I said, pre-show, everybody loves a good sound effect, but you know, it has to be clear. That's all.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I'm going to work on that. One thing that is very clear, Tracy, is the potential and current growth of Apto. And we want to hear all about what you're doing. What is Apto? What kind of company do you have? What is the service that you offer? Give us the once over so that when we start asking you questions, our audience is kind of caught up with what we're talking about.
Sure. Well, in a nutshell, Apto is a web and native app-based social learning marketplace or exchange, if you will. And it centers around a community, a niche community of all things culture, language, and travel. And right now we are laser focused on helping to innovate and solve problems in higher education, particularly as it pertains to the recruitment, onboarding, progression, and retention of students, international, study abroad, DEI, FGLI, you know, all the acronyms, Joe.
I do. I know a lot of acronyms. You know, on your website under the About section, it says, we help humans relate to anyone, anywhere. So I've got two questions. What does that mean? And tell me what that means. And number two, could Apto help me relate better to Liz? Those are my two questions.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a hard one.
That's kind of like a yes and a no, or maybe two yeses, two nos. I'm not sure.
Maybe if you guys try to duke it out in Japanese, you know, or Japanese soundtrack.
Arigato!
What was that? He said, arigato.
I can't wait to pull that out to a
yes,
button.
Please do that.
Oh, wow.
That was where is the bathroom.
Okay, I love it.
Yeah, one of my favorite phrases that I learned in Japanese. Joe, that's a great, thank you so much for bringing up and pulling out that particular line, because, I mean, what that means is just basically there, you know, of all the billions of humans we have identified, we believe close to 3 billion humans on the planet really need to be able to relate and connect more deeply to one another across barriers. And those barriers could be geographic, they could be logistical, they could be language oriented, they could be cultural oriented. And we do this because we're never going back to pre-internet isolation. We're never going back to a time when we won't need to be able to relate for social, academic, or professional reasons. So when we say we help humans relate to anyone and adapt anywhere, what we mean is that most people right now on the planet think, oh, okay, I need to learn a language. So, you know, I'm going to go sign up for Rosetta Stone or Duolingo. I need to understand a culture. So I'm going to go, you know, try to do that on YouTube, or I'm going to spend a lot of money. People are spending, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars annually for all of these disparate solutions. And the concept behind Apto is that, you know, we learn best, and this is predicated in cultural anthropology. I'll give a shout out to an academic, Gary Ferraro, whose work impressed me in my younger years. And that's just the idea that basically, you know, culture and language is so hyperlocal and so contextual, and it changes with the times and it changes with how locations change. And ultimately, you know, what I saw and what I believed was that there was an opportunity to democratize this type of exchange, to actually let local people share their stories, explain their culture, and you know, and use that to increase equity and an accessibility when it comes to education, when it comes to future of work, when it comes to travel and tourism. And I think you know, something that's really interesting is Amazon, you know, just put out Amazon Explore in beta, doing this virtual tourism that is more culturally relevant. And I think it's a validation of what we're looking for as humans. We're looking to connect more deeply and you know, seeing what's happening in the world currently. Don't know how political I can get on this podcast, but you know, it's a heart cry for so many of us.
You know, so true. And you can be as political as you'd like. That's what we have an open forum here. I think the topic of interest right now, particularly is around, you know, cultural competence and cultural sensitivity. And we're seeing so many instances of where we need to connect more deeply with one another, especially as the world continues to go global, right? It's going to be just a global world. And how do you understand people with when you have language barriers, when you have cultural, I don't want to say barriers, but cultural differences, and our ability as humans is what separates us from the robots, right? And when you get everything to AI and we aren't needed as humans to do your job anymore, what makes us valuable is our ability to relate with other humans. And that is training, isn't it, Tracy? Isn't it that training that takes practice and nurturing on how to relate to others better? And something like Apto can really help facilitate that process of understanding?
Yeah. And I think facilitation is the key word, you know, because I agree with you and, you know, and I'm actually calling in from a university partner today, you know, where we're supporting on the ground here locally with masks on and limited groups of students, you know, supporting their international student orientation today and their study abroad orientation. And, you know, there's nothing that can replace those human to human immersive experiences. But, you know, one of the things that I recognized a long time ago is that there are many people who will never get to have those experiences if it were not for technology. So I look at technology as neutral, and I look at it as a great facilitator and a great connector. But ultimately, you know, we're looking to the experts, the people who eat, sleep, breathe the local culture, the local language, to be the real providers. And we're using things like machine learning and AI to make those connections happen, especially around people's personalized interests. And on top of that, Joe, humans are so multidimensional. You know, I mean, even myself, like I grew up straddling two languages and two cultures in the home. And then I acquired a third language when I was about 12 years old. And I studied abroad, and you know, I'm interested in language and culture and technology and music and food and, you know, all kinds of things. Most of us are like that, you know, and it's time that we start to recognize that, to build community around that, to celebrate that, to actually find some joy and fulfillment in that. And one of the greatest challenges is simply awareness. We talk about it when we talk about the emotional signature that we're trying to create for our brand, the feeling that we want people to have, which is a feeling of compassionate daring. It's the idea that we have compassion for ourselves to be able to understand ourselves and accept ourselves. And that's what opens us up to have compassion for others who may be different. Because as you've identified, it's those differences that can sometimes produce almost fear. Some people just apathy, but in some people fear, hatred, divisiveness, that continues to separate us rather than connecting us.
Now, I know somebody that does a lot of work in this area, Elizabeth Leibach, my co-host, as she champions the rights of Black Americans and Black people across the world. Liz, you do a lot of work in this area, like cultural sensitivities and knowledge and acceptance and allyship, and you know a lot about this topic.
Yeah, I think that a lot of what's been said really resonates with me. And I'm always looking at culture through the lens of, you know, how can I immerse myself? As you know, I'm an immigrant. So I think American culture, or just culture in general, is something where I'm always looking at it through the lens of how can I always think about it in the respect of cultural humility. How can I humble myself, because it's a gift to be able to learn another language, another culture, explore the history of a country, and immerse yourself in that if you're able to be blessed enough to do that. I think a lot of times when we are American, we only kind of look at the world through the lens of America. And I think for people that are immigrants, you typically have a greater, appreciation for other cultures, because it's kind of a little bit more of a, when I think about growing up, my parents were like, you know, we came 4,000 miles to come to America. Like, so I definitely feel a real sense of what you're saying really resonates with me. Can you tell us what, in terms of the technology itself, Tracy, what is the actual functionality of it? So I'm always really interested in like how the apps themselves actually work. And I love this idea of having this hyper-local ability to access culture that you talked about. So if I'm someone that wants to sign up for the app, or if I'm a school that wants to adopt this app and bring it on campus to help international students or to help develop that sense of community or develop that cultural competency, exactly how does it function, and what are some ways that campus leaders can think about integrating this type of application into their campus lives?
Sure. So the way I always like to describe it is just to imagine a Venn diagram in your head. So two overlapping circles. So on the one side, you've got a global community that anybody anywhere in the world could go. So Joe, to your point earlier, could I use this? Sure, you could. So you go and you sign up and you're going to tell us information about yourself. Number one, what culture of origin are you from? What destination are you exploring? And yes, it can be right down to, you know, to the local city, state, country, not just the country to country level. And then you're going to tell us some critical factors, like have you ever had that, you know, previous experience there? If so, for how long? What are your personal interests? What are your cultural interests? What are your goals? Are you using Apto mostly for social or travel or tourism reasons? Are you using it for academic or professional growth? And then do you have a language barrier? Do you need to practice the language at that local level? And then Apto's machine learning is going to put you into, when you come to the homepage, that's our community. And in that community tab, you could be exposed to stories from people of global cultures all around the world that you can explore. You can also make friends. So we're going to suggest friends that would probably be in relevant to your age or your goals or your pursuits. And then, you know, we might suggest groups that you might like to join based on that. And then we have a guides tab, and in that guides tab, that's where you're really drilling down. So if you pick a specific city or location, content that is going to help you either explore that city, prepare to travel to or interact virtually with that city, actually travel to or interact through virtual exchange or adapt at the local level. So that's more of the nuanced, you know, the stuff that's really going to be important if you're going to be there for an extended length or period of time. And those learning videos could include things like logistics, how to fill out the appropriate forms, you know, what's relevant in healthcare in that particular location. It could be language related, you know, and particularly in context. We're not a formal language learning app, but you're going to get, you know, what are the keywords or phrases that I need for the situations that will be appropriate to my goals or to my setting. And then finally, culture, you know, cross-cultural awareness and self-reflection through that. And so that's kind of the learning piece. So I talked about the social, I've talked about the learning, and then coming in early next year, we're going to be adding that marketplace component. And so that's where, as an end user, I could get access to services and maybe be rewarded for or save money by bundling those services. So if you think about that from the perspective of an international student, for example, you know, mom and dad are going to love it because there's safety in there. I'm going to love it because I'm getting exposure to all kinds of things that I want to learn. My faculty is going to love it because now I've got, you know, greater content or value add. It can be from the other side of the Venn diagram. Now let's talk about, you know, how would the organization or the campus use it? So from a recruitment standpoint, there is the ability to leverage the platform to provide codes to existing partners to be able to maximize those partner relationships, to actually track and create workflow and pipeline to help through the recruitment process. So it's cutting down on things like emails and calls and whatnot, but also that access to, let's highlight what makes our campus and our community unique, and let's share those video stories, or better yet, have our students, you know, who've already had a great experience, share those stories in that wider community. Because guess what? There are people in the community who, that's why they came. They're looking for their next step in life. They're looking for some type of international academic experience, or they're looking for a study abroad program. or they're looking for an internship or exposure to a job opportunity at some point. So that other side of the Venn diagram is all about more about the tools to be able to be aware, to track, to target, to analyze, to promote, to push workflow. And in the middle of the Venn diagram is where you and your students play. So there's this restricted FERPA compliant platform as a service on the back end, this larger global community, and then more of a FERPA compliant process that the students go through in the center. So it's the idea of combining, again, social and learning and marketplace exchange into one global community. And one thing that, I mean, we are an early stage startup, but we're growing very quickly since we started moving into innovation partnerships with universities last year. We've brought in something like 60,000 licenses. I think we're now getting close to 80,000. And we also are working on a partnership with Samsung to be included in the Made for Samsung Partner Program. And that would put our application pre-installed in close to 100 million devices in the pilot phase.
The higher education marketplace is changing fast, and it can be challenging to stay up to date while ignoring the noise. The Evolution is the only source of opinions and insights directly from college and university leaders on the bleeding edge of transformation. We have three L's in our name, and they stand for lifelong learning, which is central to our vision for higher education's future. The Evolution is completely free to access, and new articles and interviews are published daily. To subscribe to our weekly newsletter, visit evolutionwith3ls.com/subscribe. Again, that's evolutionwith3ls.com/subscribe.
That's absolutely amazing. Yeah, I think we were stunned. That's super awesome. I love
I might have fire hosed you.
No. This is great because you said a lot, and I love that you're innovating and you're thinking about all these different ways to use technology, because that's really what it's all about. I'd love for you, because, you know, everyone knows if you listen to the podcast, I love a good origin story. How did you come up with this? Because this is like some next level stuff. Like, were you just sitting, you know, in your living room, like binging on Netflix? You're like, you know what? An app to communicate with the world.
I need to create a multicultural, global app today.
Global community.
I'm going to do it tomorrow morning, actually.
Yeah. How do you even visualize something like that? Because it literally sounds like some next level, like Will Smith maybe brought this down on a spaceship. It sounds like super cool. So how did you come up with this type of idea?
Yeah, actually, it's going to be installed on all the SpaceX commercial cruisers, and we're taking it pretty soon. It'll be intergalactic.
There you go. Love it. I'm here for it.
I'm Susan. It was actually a pretty organic process. So first and foremost, I just really relate deeply to people who feel like a fish out of water, but who somehow find a way to make friends with everybody. That was me. I was like on the periphery of all the cliques, not really in one, but not really out of them. I always found a way to just make friends and, you know, find common ground and figure it out. And there's just so much joy in that. And then, you know, when I came back from my study abroad, I had all of this in my head, you know, just the culture shock, the fact that, you know, like I said, I had studied Gary Ferraro, was influenced by the fact that culture and language can't be separated from hyperlocal geography. And I was wondering why the world functioned like that. Like, was language over here and culture over there and logistics over here? And so, you know, as things evolved in 2013, and I was actually working in a technology company, a startup that got acquired. So that helped me to see the process, you know, how you can leverage tech to solve problems, and, you know, how you grow the company and how you, you know, ship the product and so on and so forth. So that was an interesting experience for me. And then when that company sold, I actually had a side business, and the side business was a concierge business where I was working with international expats who were coming into the U.S., particularly in the Middle Tennessee area. I live in Nashville, Tennessee. It's where our U.S. headquarters are located. And, you know, I'm very proud of that, to be in the middle of the country and be growing a global or local, if you will, company. But it was really from my clients that I really got the idea, because they were saying things like, you know, Tracy, the way that you teach, like by combining, and what they were implying was, you know, taking me out to a restaurant and, you know, helping me to understand and decipher what the waitress is saying and what's happening culturally and what's appropriate for a formal business setting versus an informal, et cetera, just all this hyper-contextual stuff. I wish I had had something like that online, and I wish I had it before I came to the United States because, and this was the biggest one, you don't know what you don't know. And if I had known what I didn't know, I would have been more prepared. I would have felt more confident. I would have adapted faster. I could have been more successful. My family would have been happier. In some cases, I wouldn't have had a mental breakdown, or my wife wouldn't have had a mental breakdown, or, you know, what is this very deeply human stuff that was impacting them. And here they were getting these like 2-hour orientations, pre-departure, maybe 1-day pre-departure orientations, unless they had, you know, they were in the top 5% of management and had a $500,000 relocation budget. And I just thought that wasn't fair. And I just thought there had to be a way to leverage technology to do it. And I knew that if we were going to do something at the hyper-local level, it couldn't be us being the expert. It has to be the people who live and breathe the local culture and language. And so that's when we started moving. And I think there's also something so powerful about breaking down biases when we just share stories, when we just get real and say, this is what it was like for me. This is what I experienced. This is how I felt. And, you know, meanwhile, smartphones are moving in that direction. People have no problem, especially in a demographic that we cater to right now, uploading, you know, a video story or 2 or 10 or 20 every day. And, you know, but one of the outcries that we heard from the students that we were talking to, who, by the way, are so aspirationally motivated, was that they were tired of, you know, their voices for change, and they're tired of the way that we're treating each other, and they want to be a part of creating a world that we can all live in together. Not that we're all the same, we're not, but just learning how to celebrate those differences, accept those differences, enjoy those differences, and you know, move on with our lives. So
Tracy, let me interrupt
was an organic process.
Well, as a follow-up question, that would be, why education? Like, why get involved with a product that's higher education product or an educational product? What were you in the industry beforehand? Were you in and around the industry? I know the answer to this. That's why I'm asking you, because it's super interesting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so yes and no. I have a mother who has 2 PhDs, a brother who, you know, went down the NGO route. I mean, both of them have worked in higher education. But you know, what was really so compelling was that when we started to move from a one-way platform to a two-way platform. In other words, when we started to move to a platform where the users could both upload their videos, stories, and share their content, as well as consume, you know, the content and the stories of others, the students were the ones who emerged. They were the demographic that was the most highly involved. And so we started interviewing them. And around the time that we started interviewing them to make this transition, along came a global pandemic. And when that happened, we went to our team and to our investors, and we just said, we want to be a part of the solution and not the problem. Because I was actually getting personal phone calls from users who were like displaced from housing, who, you know, because it's a community, we're growing an organic community. So we like, these are the people we really care about, even though it's a technology platform, they're real people. And so that's when we started having conversations. This was, I guess, May of last year, with study abroad coordinators, directors of international education, chief diversity officers, provosts, presidents, you know. And we really started diving into the sustainability problems around, you know, the revenue models around international education, and how the comprehensive globalization or internationalization of education was also at the same time, and maybe Liz, this is something I'm sure that you hopefully you've seen, is a dovetailing of that along with DEI initiatives, you know, in the wake of the pandemic, plus George Floyd was like a perfect time to put a spotlight on the fact that these things also can't be like removed from one another. You know, it's just because, again, And from an immigrant background too, you know, my fiance is Nigerian American, and, you know, we talk about, like, for Nigerian international students coming into this climate, or for Asian students who are not Asian American coming into this climate, there was just so much that was happening. And we said, we want to be a part of the solution. And that's when we started our innovation partner program and started working very closely with institutions of higher education, because no matter what, I still believe that no matter what problems we have to solve around revenue sustainability, I still believe that, you know, academics at heart are some of the, you know, the most humanitarian and the most driven to solve problems. And so that symbiosis between, you know, a tech company that's agile, that can move quickly, that's commercial, and in an academic institution that's working, you know, towards those higher ideals is a really ideal match.
So go ahead, Liz. I see you coming in.
No, go ahead, because I have another question. But my question, okay, thank you. My question was, as someone that's so intimately in connection with international students, has been around the campus leadership, knows the some of the dynamics that have been going on over the past year with the pandemic, and like you said, there's more of a consciousness about equity and just how all these different issues are manifesting themselves on campuses and across the country. How is all of this going to affect enrollment, campuses, international students that are wanting to study here, and how is all of that going to change and evolve over the next year? Because I know initially with the pandemic, there was a lot of panic, like, okay, now international students make up a big amount of enrollment across the country and all this flux. So what are you hearing? What are some of the things that higher education leaders need to be aware of? And what do you see happening as we move forward in a semi post-pandemic world? Yeah.
Well, I do not claim to have a crystal ball on this or be an expert, but I think, you know, in terms of what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing, I mean, and one thing I do feel very strongly that must happen is, number one, we just have to get better at listening, you know, and as educators and as administrators and decision makers, listening to the students is the number one thing. So, you know, what I'm seeing is that the programs that are able to listen well and move faster are the ones that are going to come out on top in terms of leadership and brand equity and competitive advantage. You know, as far as trends, I do think that similar to what we're seeing in workplace trends, higher education trends, you know, I think physical enrollment has taken a hit, and it probably will continue to, but that doesn't mean that virtual enrollment has to. So some of the programs that are doing, you know, extremely well are the programs that are finding opportunities to create greater equity in education for students who maybe, you know, can't afford to, don't want to, don't have access to, you know, to physically relocate. The way that the operational processes are having to change. So the way that, you know, recruitment was traditionally done, getting on a plane and flying to all these countries, the carbon footprint, the expense, et cetera. You know, just being flexible and being able to listen to the needs and pivot faster. Some of the programs that I've heard have done some incredible, you know, quick pivots, have been able to just go to donors and make changes to how, you know, how they, the uses of funds that they had originally, you know, thought, okay, this is what we're going to be using this for. And they were able to go back and kind of make changes to that midstream. So those are some of the trends that I've been witnessing.
Well, Jason, we always love a good interview, and you've been great. We have two final questions that we always ask everybody that we talk to. And the first one is, what didn't we say about APTO that needs to be said? What do you want to say to the audience, whether it's about your product, whether it's about your growth, initiatives, anything at all, consider it your plug section. And then secondly, you talked a little bit about it, but secondly, what do you see as the future of higher education?
Okay. Well, I think the answer to the first question that just jumps out to me is just that, you know, our Aptos tagline is speak human. And one of the things that we always say is, you know, before you can learn to speak, you learn to listen. And so I think listening human and speaking human is a big part of our brand ethos. And we're really looking for innovation partners with whom that resonates, but who also want to solve real world problems and who want to solve dollars and cents problems, which I think is
that.
Probably most people. So because that's, you know, at the end of the day, it tends to be what it comes down to. In terms of the future of higher education, I think there's going to be more partnerships like what we are doing, you know, whether it's with a company like Apto or a platform and community like Apto or with other. I think partnerships are going to get stronger. I think silos, there's a lot of work happening now, particularly in the U.S., to reduce silos, to be more comprehensive in terms of initiatives. And I think that really needs to happen. And then, you know, I've already alluded to, but I'll say it again. It has to become student-centric, you know, in ways that we haven't. We were just talking about this morning, you know, stop trying to force a square peg into a round hole and just start using, you know, look at what the students are using and start adopting that to get things done, reduce costs and optimize processes.
Well, I love it. And, you know, we often have people on the podcast that are just doing some innovative work. Tracy, you're one of those people. I think the world would better watch out for Apto. Also, I've had the pleasure of talking to you a few times, and you just kind of resonate this energy of kind of this attack energy where you just know you're going to take this company to success, which I like. It's the hunger. And there's a great need. Right? There's a gap in the way we interact with one another and the assistance that we sometimes don't give each other that we need to. And so I think your app is solving a really specific problem and niche, which makes it very valuable. And I encourage everybody to check out Apto Global. That's aptoglobal.com. There's even a video of Tracy on there talking about the app. And that's the best way. That's the way I got kind of up to speed with it, is the video that's sitting right on your
Yay.
Right on your website. That was very helpful. Liz, I don't know what you think about all this good stuff, but the last word goes to you.
I love it. I think that the idea of it's like I have so many thoughts running through my mind right now, but the idea of immersive experiences.
Your mic goes crazy every time you say that. Try to say immersive again.
Immersive experience.
Tracy, were you hearing that? Every time you said immersive, it would go. Bzzz.
I did.
It was like zapping her for getting.
Yeah, right. Maybe so. But I love the idea of adopting culture. I love the idea of being able to connect with other humans. I think that really speaks to the heart of my whole journey as a social justice warrior. Is that we're all a lot more similar than we are different. And a lot of it is lack of exposure. So just kudos to you for coming up with such an amazing idea and this innovative technology and rolling this out and being a champion for that idea. So appreciate you.
No, I don't know. Tracy, this is how diabolical I am. When Liz and I met in person, I implanted a chip in her arm and she wasn't looking. And every time she says something that I just start messing with her, I zap her with it. That's the feedback that you're hearing.
Oh my gosh. You know what?
It's a zap. You know, when you say like your ears.
I don't think you implanted it in my arm. You're like 100 feet tall and I'm only like 5'3". So I think you probably put it in the top of my head. So
it's
now
well, you, Les,
I can't even
seen,
think
you're a Marvel
properly.
Fan, right? You like Marvel movies.
I love Marvel movies.
There's the Thor. Oh gosh, Love and Thunder. That's a new one. What was the fourth one where he fights Hulk in the big arena?
I don't like Thor.
Anyway, he's about to beat the Hulk up, and then the Grandmaster zaps him, and he just falls to the ground. So that's basically what I'm doing to you.
I think that is what you're doing. It's right, the only way you're going to beat me in followers on LinkedIn.
In life. I thought that's what you're going
to
say.
It's zapping me to the ground. So
Tracy, I'm sorry we have to subject you to this nonsense.
I know, poor Tracy. She didn't come here for this. She came here to promote inclusivity and loving on each other. That's what we're here for.
Have we not shown the need for Apto in this conversation, Tracy?
I am down for the banter. I'm sorry, but you know, I enjoy it. But I am just imagining Liz now walking around with this, implanted thing and like magnets hanging off of her, just attracting all the magnets.
And static and getting zapped.
Right. I'm sorry, what did you say, Liz? Who needs sound effects so I can just zap you?
You don't need sound effects anymore. You're good. You can send back your machine.
Everybody zap yourself to the Apto Global website.
That's right.
Apto Global.com. Tracy, thanks for coming on the Apto Experience today.
Thank you, Tracy. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you two and what you do.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. And just wanted to remind you, if you have a few moments, head to Apple Podcast. Give us a 5-star rating. Write us a review. Let us know what you think of the EdUp Experience podcast. We are going to continue to bring you the best and brightest and most influential minds in higher education and beyond. Thanks for listening, everyone.